My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I grew up as one of five siblings in a rather small house for such a large family. My four older siblings were sisters who were used to observing, analyzing, and commenting on every element of each other's lives. My parents never really encouraged that activity as a positive thing, but on the flip side of that, I must say that we always heard consistently and frequently how important it was to be aware that others were watching you, no matter where you were, no matter what you were doing. It was an intention for us to always walk around the world being a good example, a positive influence on those who were around us. Realizing whether you always liked it or not, somebody's watching you. My life experience has proved that out time and again. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone reveal that they've been observing some element of what I'm doing, quietly paying attention to what I was doing for many different reasons, and I bet the same has happened to you. Perhaps it was a neighbor who one day clued you into the fact that they were watching how you were maintaining the house or the lawn or the yard in some way. Maybe it was one of your children who in their adulthood actually told you that they were grateful for learning something from you that you had no idea you had taught them, because you had no idea they were watching and using you as an example or a mentor for some element of life that has proven now to be a blessing for them. You knew you had never intentionally set out to do that. You didn't even understand that they were observing you along the way. And while the reality of the judgment of others placing value assessments on our lives and activities makes us uncomfortable, it is still a reality, and it always will be. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Does that little verse challenge and intimidate you? Does it freak you out a little bit and make you uncomfortable? Or does it have just the opposite effect? Does it comfort you and console you that your God is ever present, always observing, always knowing, understanding, and acting on His promises to you regarding everything He has said to you? No matter how you and I might think and feel about this reality, does not change the fact that for every human being over the whole arc of time, this will be true for every moment of our existence. Our Creator God is ever present, always listening and observing, and also always applying His judgment to every word, every attitude, every action that we endeavor. So what you and I make of that reality will communicate to God very clearly where we understand ourselves to be at in our relationship with Him. Is His word a welcome advisor and a guide in our lives? Do we see it as an instrument of blessing? Or do we see it as only a tool of examination, judgment, maybe even behavioral control? There is no benefit, none whatsoever, to pretending God and His word are not able to be everything God claims them to be in our lives in verses such as this. Human beings only fool themselves. If they ever find their way to believing that they can live however they want, however they feel, set what priorities they choose for themselves, for their lives, without consequence. There are two beautiful examples in the other lessons of the day. How in the world could Elisha's servant have any idea that he could get away with what he tried to do? Do you remember him from a few weeks ago? He's the same servant who woke up one morning to see armies surrounding his master's house. And the reason that they were there was that one of the most powerful kings of the day was angry that his master knew what was being said in that king's own bedroom. And he was out to end Elisha's life because Elisha was forever confounding all of the things that he wanted to do violently to suppress the people of Israel. And Elisha had prayed for Gehazi's eyes to be opened to see. Do you remember what he saw? So many countless chariots and angels of God on the hills surrounding the men who had come to do their evil. But the prophet said, there are more on our side, on God's side, than there ever will be that work against God. That same man now seems to be mystified that Elisha knows exactly what has happened as he has forsaken the priorities that he had been taught by his master and goes after material gain for the very reason that the prophet had not accepted any of the gifts of this foreign general. He wanted all of the glory going to God. He wanted all the praise going to God. He wanted all of the response going to God and God alone. And that's not what the servant wanted. And the poor, actually a very wealthy young man who fell on his knees before Jesus. Would you dare to ever have that same conversation with God? I know I wouldn't. I have kept every commandment since my youth. Are you kidding me? I know that God knows better because I know better and you all know better too. And yet, notice what it says Jesus' reaction is to him. And Jesus loved him. In other words, Jesus knew just how sincere he was. That this wasn't a statement made of boast and arrogance, but this was a statement made of commitment and desire to be what God wanted him to be. And Jesus tells him, you're so very close, but your priorities are all wrong. And here's how we make that situation right, Jesus says. And think about what Jesus offers him. Jesus says, come follow me. In other words, be one of my disciples. Be with me every day. Learn everything I have to teach you. And trust me to provide for you. Eat with my disciples and myself, whatever I provide that day. Sleep where we sleep. Be comfortable living day to day with just the clothing on your back and let your God, who is present here with you, provide for you. And that will prove to you that your priorities are now correct and you've actually kept even one more commandment that you failed to keep up until now. And he walks away. He walks away from that amazing invitation because, from his mind, he just had too much stuff and his life was way too comfortable to allow that to be the thing that would be his priority in life. He had made material reality so important a priority in his life that he couldn't imagine turning his back on that to listen to what God was telling him to do. The longer you and I live, the more layers of protection and deflection we develop over our most personal thoughts and priorities and perspectives. We will never be on the path to understanding the God who made us and his definition of value and life that he intended for us to know, for our happiness and blessing right now, and for our acceptance and perfection in his presence forever, unless we are listening to his word and counting on what it promises us in regard to its direction and its clarity. Each of us must admit there are very dark realities hidden deep within us that we don't like to encounter ourselves. say nothing of allowing any other visitors to that gallery to evaluate and view the work that we have produced. But these verses say that God is already there. Already, always there, and will never leave that space. His word is the tool he will use to help us examine ourselves. But examine ourselves the way he sees us and knows us to be. And he presents his word as a diagnostic tool, unlike that any other human engineer or technician or practitioner of psychology could ever develop. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God's word cuts to the heart of every issue and of every soul engaged in every issue. It reveals every sin. Yet, here it tells us clearly, it also heals every single injury. How important it is for us to know and understand the balance of the word. While the devil and the world in which we live will only ever focus us on the things that we see as negatives of the penetrating word of God, that is only half the story. And even that half of the story has its own blessings and positives. But our God would have us know, fully understand, and embrace both sides of this issue as they are presented here in these verses. No matter where we may be in our lives, the Word of God is ready to meet us and meet the challenge of examining and directing us. We're told here it's alive and active. It is inspired. It is also the true and eternal Word of God that speaks us righteous. It proclaims to us the work that Jesus did to give us His perfection as a gift, to cover over every one of our sins and heal every element of the wounds those sins have left behind. But it is also a word that speaks so many, many other things about our lives and how we live them that will always be timely and will always bring blessing to our lives, no matter what any particular day might bring. Oh, the many times we need the correction of the word, but equally how daily, completely, minute by minute, we need the assurance of God's embrace, his unconditional forgiveness, his love, his plan, his promises. There is no source of correction or direction for our lives that can make the claim that it will be up to the task of speaking to us exactly what we need to hear in any given moment, or read at any given moment of our lives, that it will be honest with us, that it will be objective and never influenced by our whims or our pain in response to any of life's experiences. It will always be available as a balanced and true and reliant source of self-examination, but it also will help us see clearly the role of every other person and thing around us. And it will be honest with us in a way that nothing or no one else truly can be. And that's why it can speak to us, exactly why it can speak to us, the unconditional and undeserved commitment of our God to forgive us, to heal us, and to save us for all eternity. His word always focuses on His answers, God's answers, being better than our own and better than any other source of guidance we may ever pursue. It is always honest. It is always objective. It is always able to cut through all of the fog of our own making, of the nonsense that we live every day, the things we believe about ourselves, the things that we believe about the others immediately in our lives and the greater world in which we live, that we grow so convinced to be more important, more a priority for how we should live our lives every day than the way our God speaks to us in His timeless word that has spoken to every human heart of every human era, a truth that is beyond, that is better, that is balanced in a way that we can never be without that word. And that's because God's word always has one singular outcome at the center of His engagement with you and me. And that is eternal life with God. No matter who you are, no matter what you might have, no matter how wealthy and important you are or aren't, no matter what relationships you may engage in or activities in life that you may pursue, the living and active Word of God always stands ready to speak to you what you need to hear at any given moment. And always, whether it's law or gospel, whether it's about your sin or about God's grace, it is always about the purpose of making you right with God, fit for eternal life with Him. I can't think of anything more important or any more necessary than that. I can't think of any reason that you and I would ever feel or believe that the constant judgment of our God through His Word is not a good thing. Can you? Amen. Please stand. We grow in the faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.